Earlier this year, the UK's chief medical officer, Dame Sally Davies, described antibiotic-resistant bacteria as a ticking time bomb, which could make routine operations deadly in just 20 years. Over the next half an hour, we're going to be meeting a host of scientists who are working to fight infections and halt the spread of antibiotic-resistant bacteria.
To find out just how big an issue we're facing, we're joined in the studio by consultant microbiologist Dr. Nick Brown, who's in charge of infection control at Addenbrookes Hospital in Cambridge and is consultant medical microbiologist for Public Health England. Hi, Nick.
Hi there.
Thanks for coming on the show. Now, let's set the scene a bit. How big a threat to us are drug-resistant bacteria?
Well, of course, antibiotic resistance is an entirely natural phenomenon and something that we could consider to be entirely predictable because bacteria have been around for tens of thousands of years. And most of the antibiotics that we have today are products that were developed from naturally occurring substances in the environment. So bacteria have developed ways of overcoming their activity. But if an organism is able to become resistant to an antibiotic, then it won't respond to treatment with that agent. And therefore, the outcome from infections is more severe. People might not be able to go home from hospital, for example. They might stay in hospital longer. The results of the treatment might not be as effective. And some things that we might consider to be common as part of everyday modern healthcare, for example, total hip replacement or cancer treatments, for example, might become impossible if we have no antibiotics to treat the infections that might complicate them.
Now, is this a particularly recent problem or has it been going on for some time?
Antibiotic resistance was described very, very soon after the first antibiotics were developed. But in fact, it's been, or certainly bacteria have the ability to become resistant for far longer than that. So there have been studies in Canada and permafrost, for example, and studies on soil that was taken from around the roots of plants that were harvested in the 17th century that showed that the bacteria in these samples had genes that had potential to confer resistant antibiotics that are used today. So certainly the organisms have the ability to develop resistance very quickly.
And can you paint me a bit of a picture of the scale of the problem?
Well, it's very difficult to give just a single absolute number, of course, because the problem varies from one organism to another and from one place to another, not only in the community and in the hospital, but also from one country to another. But if we take some specific examples, for common infections that cause, for example, cystitis or urinary tract infection, now there are organisms that are resistant to all of the usual oral antibiotics that GPs in this country have available to them, and people are having to be admitted to hospital to have intravenous treatment. In other parts of the world, common infections such as pneumonia or other chest infections can't be treated with a penicillin group of antibiotics because the most common organism that causes this infection, Streptococcus pneumoniae, is becoming resistant. So it varies from one place to another, one organism to another. But what is common, I think, across the whole patch is the resistance is becoming more common. And not only that, of course, the other big issue is that we don't have any new antibiotics that are coming along to take the place of the ones that are becoming less effective.
Because we'll be covering later on in the show about some of the new approaches that people are taking. But I just wanted to explore maybe why we're seeing such a problem now, because you hear in the papers that it's because doctors have been giving out antibiotics like sweeties. How much of a problem is overuse of antibiotics led to this resistance challenge that we have now?
I think that is certainly an issue. If we think of the main strategies that we have for controlling resistance, then clearly making the use of antibiotics more appropriate is one key area to, if you like, protect what we've got. But overuse of antibiotics is something that occurs very widely, and perhaps also, in some respects, more important is the variation in antibiotic use, for example, between one GP practice and another, and between one country and another. And that's not easily explainable.
So is this the kind of approach that we need to take across borders? Because I guess people travel so much that we're just spreading infections all around the world.
Absolutely. This is key. And in some areas of the world, the problem is being taken much more seriously than in others. And that is one of the key issues that organisations such as the WHO are taking very seriously at the moment.
And if we don't take it seriously, if we don't properly get a lid on bacterial resistance, what are some of the costs that we could face? I mean, you talked about making surgery very difficult, but in terms of the financial costs and the human costs?
Absolutely, in both. And we forget, I think, how much we've become to rely on antibiotics in all aspects of healthcare. So not only the traditional infections, if you like, the chest infections, the skin infections, urine infections, but the treatment of cancers, where survival has improved dramatically, but the aggressive chemotherapy we now give people makes them much more vulnerable to infection. Bone marrow transplantation, organ transplantation, liver, kidney, heart, lung transplants, for example, would not be possible if you didn't have any antibiotics to treat the infections that occur after them.
And we're going to talk more about designing specific strategies, but broadly, what would you like to see happen very, very quickly to help get on top of this problem?
Well, in the introduction, we've already discussed the Chief Medical Officer's annual report. And in that, to summarise, the two key areas of activity, really. The first, to protect what we've got, to make better use of antibiotics, to prevent the emergence of new resistance and to prevent the resistance that is already occurring spreading more widely. And then the second area is to try and regenerate the pipeline for drug discovery of new antibiotics. Because although there was a sort of golden era of antibiotic development until about 1968, when 15 classes of antibiotic were discovered and developed. Since then, there have only been 5 classes of antibiotic discovered. And in fact, you could argue that some of those were actually just modifications of ones that had been there before.
Thanks very much. That's Nick Brown from Addenbrooke's Hospital.